fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
It is our Tuesday morning waiver wire show after a pretty fun finish to Monday Night Football. Good for Roberto Aguayo. I'm happy for him.
What was fun about that? That was some miserable, awful game.
Well, you know what? It was fun to be a coach on the sidelines because there were some really questionable play calls down the stretch. And then, I don't know, it was a nice, you know, like a nice redemption story? This is America, Heath. Are you un-American?
I'm just glad that even though Aguayo is not good, he's at least clutch.
That's one guy you don't have to worry about for your fantasy.
Aguayo?
Yeah.
He'll be good once he gets over these yips that he has. But hey, David,
can you imagine
Jamie?
If he missed that again?
No.
Would they cut him?
Dirk Cutter, it seems like he wants to cut everybody. He hates everyone. He's like so critical of Jameis Winston. I'm happy he missed it, but he can't miss those other ones. We could have lost the game. It's like, dude, this guy's got a confidence issue here. Relax.
There's two coaches that are like very on edge as first-time coaches, Dirk Cutter and Adam Gase. Like, they just want to bench their entire team. They hate the roster. I don't know why they took the jobs that they took if they're so unhappy with the situations that they're in. But Adam Gase is benching everybody, and it looks like Dirk Cutter wants to bench everybody.
All right, so listen, we got to talk a lot about Sammy Coates. We have plenty of Melvin Gordon emails. I want to tell everybody that I have not done a good enough job reading emails on the podcast.
You just could have stopped it.
Job, yeah.
Reading emails on the podcast. So I'm going to try to do more of that. I have a lot of them in the show notes today. And I appreciate all your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But of course, we're always going to start with the top three waiver wire priorities for this current week. So first of all, if you read Jamie's column, he usually targets players that are 65% or owned in 65% or fewer of CBSSports.com leagues. But there are four guys who are owned in more than that that you need to be looking at. Zach Miller, who's
75%. There's five.
Okay, there's only four on my list, right?
Right, there's one more.
Okay, cool. Zach Miller, 72% owned. He's got the Jaguars this week. Sammy Coates, 67% owned. Cole Beasley, 67% owned. And James White, 66% owned. And, Dave?
Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, 69% owned.
Okay. So who are you guys looking at on waivers? Jamie, start it off.
I would look at Chris Hogan. I would look at Jesse James, and I would look at Bilal Powell, who I think is going to be very good in the near future.
I like Hogan. I like Jay Ajayi, who's still available in 45% of CBS Sports leagues, because I think he could pretty much lock into some decent work even when Arian Foster comes back.
Which is when?
I don't know.
You think it'll be this week?
Yeah.
It'll be out in like two games later, and then it's Ajayi again.
He was limited in practice most of last week, so I'd imagine that he's back this week.
They're not going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be down by 60 points the whole
game. Yeah,
this is
a bad week for the Dolphins.
But look, no Cameron Hayward, no Ryan Shazier. So it's an opportunity, right?
Well, unless those guys come back. And Vince Williams has done a nice job filling in for Shazier.
And it could be really – Foster is much better in the passing game, I think. So if he's healthy, he could be a good pass-catching option this week. Maybe a decent PPR option.
All right, well
– I still like carrying Ajayi. For the same reasons why I wanted to carry him for the season. It doesn't have to be your number one priority.
Right.
Like, I do like Hogan better. And Bilal Powell in the PPR, you can't get away from that. And eventually he's going to become the guy in standard, too. And I think Bobby Rainey's got staying power in the Giants' run game.
In the passing game.
Well, I mean, that's where it is.
Yeah, right.
But look at who they have as traditional running backs there. It's Darkwa, who's okay, and Jennings, who's okay and hurt a lot. So my guess is that they will eventually go to a Rainey Perkins backfield and try and lean on those guys. It's funny, but they'll catch a lot of passes.
Okay, he's 9% owned, Bobby Rainey. We will get into that. Heath, you want to throw some names out?
Yeah, I'll go a little bit deeper, I guess, because all the good names have been taken. I mean, Cameron Meredith, just 2% owned, and he's going to have a role in that offense for as long as Hoyer's there, because Hoyer doesn't even want to look at Alshon Jeffrey.
He's allergic to him.
I want to know what Alshon Jeffrey did to Brian Hoyer.
But that's probably going to change, right? I mean, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's a squeaky wheel game.
Yeah.
And it's a good – I mean, it's probably the Jags, so that's a good time to have it.
But wasn't last week the same situation?
I don't – but he hadn't really complained. I mean, there were five times during that game that
he was
on the field throwing his hands up like this in the air.
Including the last play of the game.
Right.
Yes. So I
– But did he come out and say something?
I've not verbally heard it yet.
Yeah.
Were you in the locker room? Could you have heard it there?
I saw the hand motions on the field.
Depends what locker room you're in.
Wait, did you get hear the or read the hot dog quotes?
Yeah. Right? John Fox was looking down at reporters.
So here's the exchange from CBS Chicago. Reporter to John Fox. This is actually reading on our website, but it's from CBS Chicago. Reporter to John Fox. Should Hoyer have been looking Alshon Jeffrey's way on fourth down? Fox. I think when you're out there playing quarterback, it looks a little different than when you're up in a press box having hot dogs. Reporter to Fox. Does that play on fourth down illustrate the difference between Hoyer and Cutler? I'm not going to get into all this. Had we had the coolness of the hot dog laden press box, we might have gone there.
I think John Fox just wanted some hot dogs.
Yeah, right.
It's like Freudian slip.
And then what is Robert Wood's ownership?
That's a good question.
I think he's a guy that because he had the bad week this week is going to get overlooked on waivers, but I would expect he's gonna have a very good week against the 49ers.
What'd you guess his ownership percentage?
I will guess 18%.
47%.
Oh, you didn't even let me have a guess. I was going to say 47%.
Dave was
good
right.
Guess, Dave.
Thank you.
So I'm interested in adding Robert Woods in a couple of places.
How about Dante Moncrief, by the way? Like, I know he's still a little ways from coming back, but when he comes back, I think you're picking up a player that we were drafting round six, unless you're Jamie, then round four.
Right.
And you've got him on your team for nothing.
Yeah,
he's available in 40% of leagues.
Oh yeah,
Jamie. You didn't
He's a priority for me, probably ahead of most of these running backs.
No Tony Romo in your column.
He is. I probably just didn't send it to you.
Oh, okay.
He's 17% owned. Yeah. I put him ahead of Kaepernick if you're looking at the list.
Okay, right. Kaepernick could be starting this week, so much more waiver wiring to come. But even those guys who are owned in more than 65% of leagues, Sammy Coates, if he's on your waiver wire, I mean, that's. Are you excited to add Sammy Coates?
I think everybody is excited about what we saw this week and last week, too. They were taking shots with him. But there's also things that are frustrating, like dropping the football in the end zone on a short pass that should have been caught, and then you would have had a really great day.
We had a very interesting conversation in the green room about this because Pete Briscoe kept saying, you'll take a guy that's always open over a guy that's not open. And, you know, clearly if he's dropping half of his targets, the half that he's catching, as you saw from Coates, can still be pretty good. So, metrics-wise, he's a terrible wide receiver. Fantasy-wise, though, he can still be very good.
And Pete says,
as long as he's in that role.
Pete loves him. I mean, Pete wrote yesterday that he's got, you know, amazing talent. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he raved about his talent. So, Coates is definitely going to be a name that pops up on the waiver wire in some of my leagues, and I'm going to hit that add button. Hopefully, I get him. I want you all to listen, by the way, to Pete Prisco on the Roughing the Passer podcast. It's twice a week. Tuesday, they do kind of a weekly wrap-up, Will Brinson and Pete Prisco. Thursday is a great show as well. It's Nick Costos and Will Brinson, and they pick every game against the spread. And you know, Nick has a lot of experience doing that. Those guys are really good. So check out the Roughing the Passer podcast and all of our podcasts, cbssports.com/podcast. Here's an email from Matt in Minnesota. Is Sammy Coates a break-the-bank guy this week? Most of my league has 85% or more of their free agent budget, including me. Is Sammy Coates worth a big investment? Hashtag skull for the Vikings. My favorite team, by the way. My new favorite team.
Is the Vikings?
Yeah.
Can't root for the Giants anymore?
No, I root for the Giants, but...
You're going to ruin two teams now, plus whichever game you picked the Bonanza to be?
Yeah, sorry about that.
I don't think I'm breaking the bank for Sammy Coates. Maybe if it's a situation where I need a receiver this week because he's playing Miami, should go off for 70 and a touchdown at a minimum. I think in that case, go for it. Like, you have to be desperate.
Give me a percentage. What are you thinking for Coates?
Of my remaining fab?
Let's say you have a $100 fab and you don't have all of it. But how much of a $100 budget is Sammy Coates worth?
If I need him, I'll put up 30%.
Yeah, I think he could be. It's like Dave said, it's situational, but like there's a chance, and it's not a small chance, that he's going to be very similar to what Martavis Bryant was in this offense. We thought that in August, and then we let bad preseason games tell us he wasn't going to be, but so far through the first five games of this year, that's kind of what he looks like.
They really don't have another choice at wide receiver either.
Right?
Because Eli Rogers has the turf toe. We don't know when he's coming back, and he plays a completely different role anyway.
Right.
Marcus Wheaton hasn't been special since pretty much he's come into the league. Ditto that for Darius Hayward Bay.
He played more snaps. Wheaton played more snaps than him, though, which is interesting.
What did the target shake out to be?
I mean, Coates dwarfed him in targets.
Right, and the Steelers' offense has always had that deep ball threat.
Is it worth mentioning that Ben Roethlisberger is just a much better quarterback at home than on the road?
Yes.
And his last two games, Roethlisberger has how many touchdowns? Like 9 touchdowns?
But it's going to continue for another week on the road.
Probably.
He's playing at Miami.
He was horrible on the road last time out at Philadelphia. Miami is not Philadelphia. I get that. All right, so.
But I'll tell you, like after that, they've got New England at home, then a bye, then at Baltimore, and then Dallas at home. Not the easiest stretch.
Doesn't really matter for the Steelers when they're clicking, though, right? I mean,
theoretically, that's fine. And then they play at Cleveland in week 11.
Here's another email. It's from AJ from Haverhill, Massachusetts. Hey, Julian, Chris, Rob, and Marty.
Those are Patriots pass catchers.
Those are. Someone in my PPR league dropped Willie Snead to pick up a second defense. Do I pick up Willie Snead or Sammy Coates or Jeremy Curley?
Snead
it is. Tampa Bay 17, Carolina 14. We'll get back to the waiver wire shortly. Tampa Bay had the ball for 34 minutes and 9 seconds, and Jameis Winston only threw 30 passes. Jacquizz Rodgers had a very eventful game with 30 carries.
Just like we all thought he'd have.
So, look, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going into a bye, and then it gets easier at San Francisco, Oakland, Atlanta, and Chicago. Those next three games after the road game at San Francisco are all at home. So Jameis Winston, how droppable is he? 3 bad games, 2 good games so far.
You can do it.
There's no reason to carry him during his bye week.
But do you see potential for him after the bye to come back and be really awesome? I mean, it is a very good schedule, including New Orleans in week 14 and 16.
But what's the point in stashing him, though, unless you're in a 2 quarterback?
Like, I'm in, like, I have Bortles in a couple leagues. I might want Winston for week 7 and beyond. I don't know.
Then, in that case, you should want him on your bench.
Yeah, they're obviously.
It's a very obvious situation.
Yeah, they're obviously circumstances.
It kind of seems like if you have Bortles, you already have Winston.
Well, I mean, I like in our podcast league, I started the one that we're not terrible in. I drafted both of those.
By the way,
guys.
We won in that league.
We won. We're off the side. Our team's great. We're gonna run the table. But I don't know. I just feel like you look at the matchups for Jameis Winston. If he's 60% owned going into next week, he's gonna be in your waiver wire column as an ad going at San Francisco. No,
Winston.
Yeah, like you're gonna like his matchups going forward.
But you don't have to add him this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you don't have to drop him. I'm saying if you have money.
I have him on the drop list. I don't think he's somebody. Same thing I'll say about Bortles after his going into his bye week. He's coming off his best game of the season. There's no reason to carry him.
Yeah.
You know, I think you can use that roster spot to speculate on somebody else. And then if you need to go back to him, there's going to be an injury. There's going to be somebody that you can potentially drop in that situation. You're streaming quarterbacks if you're using Winston as your starter. So,
yeah.
Right, like if you've got Brady and Winston, what are you doing?
No.
You don't need Winston
no,
anymore.
No, but in your scenario, I mean, like, I'm in one league where my quarterbacks, and I'm lucky enough to be 4-1, are Carson Wentz and Joe Flacco. I actually thought Winston was on the waiver, and I thought, man, I should have picked him up and gone with Wentz and Winston and got rid of Flacco. But I missed the chance to do that. Like, that's a scenario where I would carry both. So I can understand your question, but
okay.
I think just in the broad spectrum of what Jameis Winston is to fantasy leagues, he's droppable.
Okay, then, Jacquizz Rodgers, guys, 38% owned, got 30 carries. Look into the future here for Tampa Bay. Is just Doug Martin's back next week or 2 weeks, and we're cool?
I think by them putting Charles Sims on IR, that means either Sims is way, way more hurt than anybody thought, or they're comfortable that Doug Martin will be back.
Okay.
So Quiz is a good handcuff for Doug Martin.
Yeah, and
Charles Sims.
He'll be a lot like Sims in that he might still be relevant in PPR leagues.
Yep.
Even when Martin is healthy, but it's going to be as more of like a really deep flex in a PPR league.
And he's not going to get 30 carries in every game. If Doug Martin gets banged up and misses time again.
No.
You can't count it. When's the last time Doug Martin had 30 carries in a game?
No, but the nice thing about it is you know that they won't be afraid to go to him. And so that's the thing that you're looking at.
Well, that's why he's
Rodgers.
The handcuff. Right.
So he's absolutely worth picking up. It's just a matter of where he falls in this week because they're on a bye and because Martin's coming back.
Do you guys like Cameron Artis Payne at New Orleans in week 6? And he had 18 carries for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns last night. 56% owned. Is this a guy we can plug into our lineup and start in week 6?
I think he's a flex.
Yeah.
I guess he's a flex.
I mean, the matchup's great. They gave him the work. The one thing is that Cam's probably going to come back this week. And so that will change the dynamic of the offense.
Right. No more short yardage.
And it's possible Stewart comes back.
Right. Okay. Kelvin Benjamin. Do we have anything to say about Kelvin Benjamin or Mike Evans? Evans, 4 straight games with double-digit targets.
Pretty Evans cool. is awesome. Continue to start him. Kelvin Benjamin's been a little disappointing after the hot start. but I still think he's a number two fantasy receiver.
Yep. And playing the Saints this week, it's going to be hard to not rank him as a number one.
Mm-hmm. Who is the number one tight end in fantasy?
Well, it's Greg Olsen.
It's Greg Olsen.
As we all expected.
Yeah, he's been pretty awesome so far. All right, here are some anything else from this game? Cameron Brate, cool to drop?
Yeah, he's on a bye this week.
Yeah.
Can't start him.
He's a streamer.
And same with Adam Humphries, obviously.
No, he's not even relevant when he comes back.
All right, so
that's
Melvin
so hurtful.
Gordon emails. Melvin Gordon emails.
He sparked a firestorm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool because he said he's like the greatest sell-high candidate in the history of sell-high candidates. So this is from, oh man, I didn't put his name or city. What's wrong with me?
It's a her.
It says Gabriel.
Where? Oh, it's from Gabriel. Where's Gabriel from?
Not Gabriel.
No, there's
or
no
Gabriel.
Okay.
I should
Dude,
not have
I butchered
Gabriel.
This so badly. There are three emails here.
Oh,
the second
okay.
one is from Gabriel. Who's this first one from, Dave?
It's also from a girl. It's Samantha in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Dear some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, what is this crazy talk of trading the superb Melvin Gordon? All I do is score touchdowns, Melvin Gordon. Give me 5 to 8 better running backs that I could realistically get for Melvin Gordon.
5 to 8 better. Lamar Miller, Todd Gurley
mm-hmm.
is the starch.
I don't know that they're necessarily better for fantasy.
I would rather have Devontae Freeman. I would rather have Jordan Howard. I would
ooh,
rather have...
Ooh, okay.
Okay. So that's 4?
Yeah. How about Mark Ingram?
That's right on the edge, but I think I'd rather have Ingram.
Why is Gurley better than Gordon?
Why are any of those guys...
Well, no, I can... Like, Lamar Miller's schedule is about to get a little bit better, and I think he's... Could be better rest of the way, but Gurley's the one I don't understand. Because I know your knock on Gordon is his yards per carry, and Gurley's worse.
Right.
And Gordon's a better receiver, and Gordon's in a better offense, and Gordon's schedule is still better.
Yeah, I think Gordon's schedule is still better than Gurley's going forward. But the schedule that Gordon's had so far this year, I think makes his numbers look worse. The fact that he's faced the Jags, the Raiders,
he's
the Saints,
only one to run in the
Colts.
Jags, though.
Okay, and he's the only one to not have really success against the other three.
But he did have double-digit fantasy points.
Right. No, he
but
scored
the
touchdowns.
Points were there.
And one of the things...
But I mean, don't you think Gurley at this point is touchdown-dependent? He hasn't had 100-yard... He has had, I think, 100-yard game
I,
in like 10.
I think Gurley is more likely to break a long run than Gordon is. I think Gurley is more talented than
Gordon. Oh, Gurley's certainly more talented. I don't disagree with that. But I think circumstance, production, to date, situation... Like, I don't know if you're getting a significant upgrade
right.
on Melvin Gordon going to Todd Gurley.
I'd rather have Gurley rest a season. And so that's why I would make the trade. I think Gurley's going to score more fantasy points than Gordon is.
The rest of the way.
And I think like one of the things Gordon has going for him is people talk about all of his red zone opportunities. Well, they're not going to have as many red zone opportunities when they play better defenses.
How many better defenses do you think
they
play?
Well, I mean, I know they got Denver twice in the next 3 weeks, but look what Denver's done against, or what running backs have done against Denver.
Yeah, and actually, I also wanted to add, they got Denver this coming Thursday. For what it's worth, last year Denver played on Thursday. They gave up 150 rushing. They gave up a ton of rushing
yards to Jamal Charles. They were on the field all day last week against Atlanta. That's going to be a tired defense on Thursday night.
Atlanta kind of exposed them a little,
I'm not saying Melvin Gordon's going to have a monster day. I don't know where you guys have him ranked. He's in the teens for me, but... This is one of those situations where I think it's almost like a prove-it game because short week is typically good for running backs. Denver's defense should be tired. They're on the road. I think if Gordon comes out of this with another good fantasy stat line, and certainly if he has a good day, you know, I mean, he's had three games over 4 yards per carry, 2 games under 3. So that kind of brings him down a little bit. So I don't think his numbers are as horrific as they look. I'll take a guy who's on pace for 1,200 yards total, which is what he is.
Right.
And he's going to score
a touchdown a game.
He's going to score.
Right.
Well, he's going to score 10 touchdowns. I mean, it's just a matter.
Well, he already has 7.
Well, but it's just a matter of where those next 4 to 5 are going to come. So let's say 12 touchdowns. Where those next 4 or 5? I mean, he's basically what Ryan Matthews was in this offense 2 years ago. It's the same thing.
He's also had at least 70 total yards each of his.
But
last
I do
four
think
games.
I would take Gurley and Miller.
The one
would
thing
you
I do
want to
say,
because you haven't said if you would, you've brought
would,
it up, but you'd
I
rather
would.
Have.
I would consider Miller depending on what my team looks like. I would not trade him for Todd Gurley at this point.
That's more a wow
for
Gurley.
You wouldn't do it for Freeman either?
No, I wouldn't.
I think we've seen the best of Freeman.
Why?
You don't, but we've seen the best of Gordon for sure, right?
I don't
but
see
he's
that sharing,
I don't
he's
know
not,
he's
about
not sharing
that.
The ball, though.
He's why not sharing the ball.
But why have we seen the best
he's
of Freeman?
He's the goal line back.
Sorry.
I just think that Coleman's going to continue to take work from him.
Okay.
You're not saying that Devontae Freeman's going to
be bad.
No,
I don't think he's bad. Maybe that's not fair to say the best of him. He's still going to be very good. I don't want to.
He's still a starter in
fantasy. Yes, I think both guys are good, and I think both are better than Gurley.
Yeah.
One thing we did take some heat for yesterday was only talking about Melvin Gordon's yard per carry and not any other number.
Right, like his receiving.
His yards after contact are about league average. So it's not been terrible in that regard. His Pro Football Focus grade in the run game is 43rd out of 55 running backs.
Here's my biggest concern with him. They say they're sticking with him despite fumbles in two straight games. One more fumble, what happens?
Well, they don't have anybody else.
I don't know, but
Kenneth Farrow?
Maybe, just to send a message. Just to send a message. I don't know.
This team is desperate for wins.
Yeah.
And maybe that's another factor, too.
Offensive line's getting banged up. That's a big part of it.
All right,
Orlando Franklin got hurt in that game last week.
Let me read a couple more emails. This is from Gabriel. I want to sell Melvin Gordon. The best offer I have is Mark Ingram. Is that a good trade?
No.
I think that's a good one.
No, I think you need more. I won't.
Okay.
Knowing what Ingram's schedule is moving forward?
It's bad.
You've talked about this.
I don't remember.
His schedule, Carolina coming up this week, although that's not so bad because Carolina's on the short week and it's at home. At Kansas City, Seattle at home, at San Francisco, Denver at home, at Carolina on a short week, Rams at home, and then week 13, he gets the Lions.
Yeah, but again, some of the teams you rattled off there, Carolina's run defense is not as good as it was in years past. The Rams, as we just saw, their whole defense was beaten up. Who knows if it's going to be the same as we get to that point.
That's like a month from now.
Doesn't matter. I mean, they just got destroyed by Buffalo. So it's not like they're not beatable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
This is another player I like a lot, and he's a lot like Melvin Gordon.
They're pretty similar.
They are.
Yeah.
But again, okay. Melvin's not sharing.
And from Tony in New York, grade the trade, PPR league, give up Melvin Gordon, get Dez Bryant.
No.
You don't know what Dez's situation is.
So no, you're keeping Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. Hey, who's hungry?
I had an amazing breakfast. I went through the drive-thru, picked up a couple of items, scarfed them down in the car on my way in the office.
So you're hungry?
I don't know how I'm going to feel in about
an hour. What are you doing eating from the drive-thru? You got to start eating Blue Apron. We're giving away some free food, three free meals at blueapron.com/FFT. Go there now, blueapron.com/FFT for three free meals. Stop eating stuff like what Dave was eating. Get started. Sign up for Blue Apron. Get incredible ingredients and incredible meals shipped right to your door. And here's why I love Blue Apron. First of all, the food is great and much healthier than what I normally eat. A lot of vegetables, get some fruit in there sometimes. There's variety, different stuff all the time, different spices, different side dishes, meats, etc. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Choose delivery options to fit your need. There's no weekly commitment. You can only get deliveries when you want them. And it saves me money. Each meal is less than $10 per person. And it's so convenient. Blue Apron ships your food right to your door. Don't waste time at the grocery store anymore. This is the way to go. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. The food is so good. Give it a shot. I absolutely love Blue Apron. I know you will too. blueapron.com/FFT. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Here are your news and notes. Mark Trestman was fired. We talked about this briefly yesterday. It happened as we were on the air. And quarterback coach Marty Mornhinweg is now the offensive coordinator for Baltimore. What does that mean for fantasy, Dave Richard?
I think they're going to try and please the quarterback a little more. Because in the last 2 weeks, they've run the ball well. They did what they wanted to do with the run game, and yet the OC got fired. So there must be something there beyond the run game that's
making
them this
way. I think it was the total opposite, to be honest with you.
That they didn't run enough?
That they got
but the run game has gotten going.
That they got away from Terrence West in a crucial situation in last week's game against
but it's
Washington.
But it has to be more than just one game. It's got to be more than one
game.
Oh,
I don't disagree with you, but I
and
think
the week before, West had a ton of work.
The narrative coming out of the game yesterday was there had Joe Flacco forcing the ball into this game with the wind being bad when Terrence West was averaging, what, like 6 yards a carry? So I think just John Harbaugh was just done with this whole Trestman running Kubiak's offense, Trestman trying to force his own offense in. This whole two-year experiment's been a disaster for them.
Does this benefit anybody, hurt anybody?
I think it benefits West.
Okay.
Look, Flacco doesn't have a healthy receiving core right now.
Or a healthy offensive line.
Steve Smith is banged up. Mike Wallace is banged up. Kamari Aiken stinks. You know, maybe this helps him. Who knows?
And that's why Breshad Perriman is in your column.
Yeah, I mean, right. Perriman's going to benefit if both those guys are out, for sure.
And he had an almost touchdown.
I was going to say, he did have an almost category, touchdown.
Yeah. Jack Del Rio says he hopes Latavius Murray returns from a toe injury this week. They have the Chiefs. Eddie Lacy's ankle injury is not serious, but he may not play this week. And he has Dallas. Nobody mentioned James Starks as a hot waiver wire pickup.
Doesn't sound like
obviously, if you've got Lacy, you've got to get Starks.
Okay. Gary Kubiak is out of the hospital, but he's not going to coach this week. We wish you the best, Gary Kubiak. They are playing Thursday at San Diego. Ryan Shazier could miss a few more games with a knee injury. The Dolphins signed Benay Benwickery as their rookie cornerback is out for a few weeks with a knee injury, and they also put Koamisi on IR. They are a mess. Jeremy Hill expected to practice tomorrow. Charles Sims is on IR with a knee injury. Bruce Arians seems optimistic about Carson Palmer this week against the Jets.
He's playing. They got rid of Zach Dysart.
All right. Great matchup there. The Vikings expected to sign Jake Long, an offensive tackle.
They did already.
Oh, they did. All right. He's torn his ACL twice. They're on a bye this week. San Francisco, we mentioned this, Colin Kaepernick. They're trying to restructure his contract to remove the guarantee for injury next year so he can start this week. Do you expect the following players? Stephon Diggs at Philadelphia.
Not yet.
Terrence Williams at Green Bay.
Well, Stephon Diggs on a bye.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. At Philadelphia next week then?
Yep.
All right, Stephon Diggs on a bye, so my bad. Terrence Williams at Green Bay.
That'll be a fun game, huh?
Minnesota.
Eagles and Vikings after the big trade they made.
Yeah, I can't wait. I got my
Yeah, obviously. My jersey. You got your jersey. Oh, yeah, that's right. Your little
Who's
Vikings
your favorite player
now.
Oh, my favorite player? I'll say Diggs. I kind of like Diggs last year.
I pictured you as an Adam Thielen guy.
No, you know what?
Because you're both out.
I would have gone Harrison Smith.
I'll take Linval Joseph. I can't give up.
Blair Walsh.
Blair Walsh. Then I've been bonanzing him for a while, I guess. Steve Smith, expect or no? Yes or no at the Giants?
No.
Arian
he was
Foster.
Complaining about how much pain he was in after the game.
Baby. Arian Foster.
Not yet, no. But he's trending in the right direction. Jamie says yes.
Trevor Siemian on Thursday.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Cam Newton.
Yes.
Eric Ebron.
No.
Nope.
Dwayne Washington.
No.
Eric Decker.
They may sign Justin Forsett.
No.
Eric Decker, no?
No. No on Decker.
Dez Bryant.
No.
No.
Rashad Jennings.
Yes, if I had to say.
Julius Thomas.
No.
No.
Tyler Eifert.
No.
Guys, it's Team Name Tuesday.
All right.
How you feeling about that?
Let's see what you got.
It involves some singing, and I just don't know that I have the voice for it.
But you
oh, look
you
at
want
you
to try.
Grabbing your water. Here he goes. Oh, look at this sly grin
this
on his
gonna,
face.
My voice is going to crack. This is going to be so embarrassing.
You want to get the guitar picture?
This is from Andrew. More than a feeling. I like that. It's pretty good.
That's funny.
Okay.
I saw them in concert this summer.
Boston?
Yeah, they sing better than you.
This is from The Gooch in Las Vegas.
That's where I saw them.
I'm hooked on a feeling. All right, I like it. It's also good. This is from Joel. Haagen-Dazs.
You didn't sing that one.
Yeah, there's no. Haagen-Dazs. All right, and this is from Marquise in Sandusky, Ohio. It says, Dear Eric, Kyle, Kenny, and Stan.
Hey.
There you go. After receiving a terrible trade offer in one of my leagues, the perfect team name came to me in the form of a reply. Don't A's me, bro.
Oh, see, that's what you like.
No, I like the more than a feeling. I might actually use that. Time for the waiver wire. Quarterbacks. With Winston and Bradford on bye, with we're expecting Newton and Palmer and maybe Siemian. But here are some guys to add. Brian Hoyer. The writing seems like it's on the wall that, you know, other than the people eating hot dogs in the press box, it seems like Hoyer's the guy. And this is three straight weeks with 22, 24, 27 fantasy points for Hoyer. And he's got the Jaguars. This is something interesting about the Jaguars. They have faced Rodgers, Rivers, Flacco, and Luck. And they allow the seventh fewest passing yards per game. So I'm not – they've given up touchdowns, but Rodgers, 199 yards, Rivers, 220, Flacco, 214, Luck, 234. I'm not sure they have a bad – I'm not sure this is a good matchup for Hoyer. What do you think, Jamie?
He's been playing so well, and I think this game could potentially be a shootout. So I think with the way Hoyer's going, no interceptions in the three starts, 300 yards every game, two touchdowns every game. If he does get Jeffrey going – you know, the one concern would be, is he going to start forcing the ball to Jeffrey? That's where the turnovers come, because that tends to happen when you're trying to force feed a number one guy, is does he turn into a pumpkin again? Mm-hmm. But I think for right now, with how the quarterbacks are, especially if Cam remains out, like I said, I think you're going to get Carson Palmer back. He's got to be worth picking up, and I think he's a top 10 option this week.
Yeah, go ahead, Heath.
We got one more week of starting. I mean, I was going to criticize the Jacksonville passing yards per game allowed, but you look at yards per attempt – they're the second best at 6.1 yards per attempt. Only the Vikings at 6.0 have been better this year.
2 weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago now, I was listening to the Roughing the Passer podcast, and Pete Prisco said defensive rookie of the year is Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, he's been playing well. He allowed a touchdown to T.Y., the big play.
Yeah.
To Dorsett, rather.
To Dorsett, okay.
Yeah.
But he looks like a very good pick for the Jaguars.
Amon Kamara's healthy, and they're getting back Aaron Colvin. So their corners are going to be the best that they've been all year. It's just a matter of whether or not the pass rush can get home.
Here's the rest of the waiver wire list. It seems, Jamie, this is tailored really for week six, right?
Most of the quarterbacks and tight ends usually are.
Okay. Hoyer, Marcus Mariota facing Cleveland. Alex Smith at Oakland. They allow the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Trevor Siemian, if he plays, at San Diego on Thursday. And then you've got more stashes, Tony Romo and Colin Kaepernick. But Hoyer, Mariota, Smith, and Siemian. Any thoughts, guys?
I think Alex Smith's really interesting because it's not just this week. He's kind of got a setup like Hoyer did, where he's got 3 or 4 weeks in a row against very good matchups. The interesting thing with Smith so far this year is they've played 2 games where they had the lead, the Jets and Houston, and he threw the ball 30 to 35 times. They've played 2 games where they were behind most of the game, Pittsburgh and San Diego. He's got 48 and 50 pass attempts. So I don't know what you expect with the Chiefs defense against Oakland, but they've not had any trouble scoring points this year.
I think they're going to shut down Oakland.
You think so?
Really?
Yeah. Andy Reid coming off a bye. He's so good in that regard. 15-2 in his last 17 games coming off a bye. Alex Smith in his last 4 games against Oakland, each time of the last 2 years, at least 20 fantasy points in all 4 of those games. Oakland's defense is, I think, benefited from the 2 previous games that they played prior to last week. One was against Tennessee. I forget what the other one was. Where it's certainly the Titans game. But I think you look at just the Chiefs defense getting healthy a little bit, coming off their bye week. I think they're going to make things tough on Derek Carr. He didn't play well against them last year. They took away Mark Cooper, which I think Mark
new Peter's Raiders right. team.
Doesn't matter.
It's interesting. I'm looking at your rankings.
I don't know if I see it that way.
Yeah, you look at your rankings. Dave and Deeth have Carr top 8. Jamie's got him 16th right now. Interesting. All right, well, listen, if you are the Matt Ryan owner, you need to be looking at these guys, right?
I suppose. I don't know if there's a great ceiling with Alex Smith. It feels like the game flow will help him because either Oakland's going to do what Jamie doesn't think they're going to do and put up points that's going to force Alex Smith to throw, or Alex Smith helps build a lead. I don't know if Jamal Charles is all the way back and they can just lean on him like they've done before against Oakland.
Okay.
But it is not a scary matchup. It's just a matter of trust for Alex Smith.
But yeah, I'd start Hoyer, Mariota, and Smith over Ryan this week.
Did you know that Billy Joel has a song called Matter of Trust? You probably didn't know that. You know, like,
I bet you'd
Billy
love
Joel
to
song.
Sing it for us.
No, not really, but Heath Good. Hates Billy Joel and knows almost
I know,
none,
I don't how do you
none
hate
his,
Billy
almost
Joel?
None of his catalog.
I don't hate Billy Joel. He's just kind of irrelevant to me.
Well, that makes one of you. All right, so some emails about quarterbacks. Let's do a 2-quarterback league question. This is from Meredith. Where's she from?
She's from Plano, Texas.
I knew a girl named Meredith once. She was from St. Louis, actually.
All right. Hey, you probably didn't like her because she was from St. Louis. Hey, Jed, Leo, Josh, and Toby. Jed, Leo, Josh, and Toby. I don't know that. All right, here's the question. I have Brock Osweiler in my 2-quarterback league. I can pick up Siemian, Alex Smith, Bradford, or Keenum. Who would you pick up for this week and rest of the season?
Smith.
Yeah, I'm not definitely. Ready to commit to Smith for the rest of the season, but for this week, I think
for the next
Smith
month
makes sense.
Is this West Wing? All right, I'm not sure. And this is from Jonathan. Hoyer or Winston, rest of season as a backup for Luck?
Hoyer for now.
Yeah, he just wants a long-term backup here.
I would rather have Winston. You're not starting Hoyer over Luck, and you're not starting Winston over Luck either, but I'll go Winston.
Winston's only going to lose the job if he misses playing time because of an injury. If Hoyer has 1 or 2 bad games, it's Jay time again in Chicago.
Here are some running backs to add on the waiver wire this week. Bilal Powell, 47% owned. He's number one. Jamie, is that they're at Arizona. Is this more of a long-term?
100%.
Okay. Cameron Artis Payne would be more of a short-term play at New Orleans this week.
But that's only if Stewart's out.
Right, we don't know. Bobby Rainey, they've got the Ravens, then they're at the Rams in London, so they're at London. Okay, Cameron Artis Payne, after Bilal Powell, it's Artis Payne, Bobby Rainey, Jay Ajayi, Jalen Richard. Let's stop right there. Heath, you want to give your reaction to that? Powell, Artis Payne, Rainey, Ajayi, Richard.
The one guy on this list that I could see having huge upside is Richard, but that was not really an encouraging display from him in Washington this week, and now they're hoping they get Murray back. I'd much rather have Payne this week as a guy that I needed to start, assuming that Stewart's out.
The way that I wrote it was, there isn't like a slam dunk starter
right
of the running back group this week, because I think at best they're all flex options. So if you're looking at it long term, you take Powell. If you need someone for this week, though, Payne in standard leagues and Rainey in PPR.
Well, let me ask you this. If Jonathan Stewart's out and Eddie Lacy is out, are Cameron Artis Payne at New Orleans and James Starks home against Dallas top 24 guys?
No.
No.
Really? No. Okay.
But top 30.
I don't like trusting either of those running backs.
No.
I would do it if I had to.
And I think a guy that probably belongs in that Rashard category is Booker, because he's getting more snaps every single week. C.J. Anderson has another bad week against the Chargers, and we might see a lot more Booker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Devontae Booker's next on the list. He's 45% owned, followed by James Starks, Jacquizz Rodgers, Mike Gillisley, who's facing San Francisco. Thinking blowout?
No, stash.
Okay, so specifically for the McCoy
yep.
owner?
Mm-hmm.
And Deion Lewis, that's a good stash, 36% owned. So, okay, we saw.
I mean, keep in mind, we don't know what Deion Lewis's status is.
He is walking through a locker room.
That was 2 weeks ago, so it could be better than that.
Maybe now he's skipping.
He's eligible to start practicing next week. So,
I feel like this is not a week where we have to spend too much time talking about running backs on waivers. Right?
There isn't anybody exciting here other than Powell in PPR.
Are you dropping Wendell Smallwood and or Kenneth Dixon?
Smallwood, yes. Right, if you don't have to.
No, I think Smallwood's still the same category as Powell, still the same category as Devontae Booker. If he gets a chance, he's going to be good.
Who are your favorite stashes right now? Running backs.
Still Dixon for me.
Booker?
Yeah, I'd say it's Booker.
Okay.
Booker was a guy I drafted in a bunch of leagues and just haven't let go of.
Right.
Because I'm waiting for this. I made
Scott White in our 16-team league an offer. He's the C.J. Anderson owner. I offered him Booker for Bilal Powell. I need somebody last week.
Makes sense.
And he turned it down.
Really?
And I can understand it because he's got the Raiders backfield. I shouldn't say the whole backfield. He's got Murray and Washington. And Anderson, those are his four running backs. So I was just looking at it logically, like, you know, if whatever reason Anderson goes down, you'd like to have that. I obviously would like that, but I needed somebody desperately for this week, and he turned it down. So it's interesting, like, with the Anderson order. Like, I have Anderson, I think, in five leagues, and I have Booker in three of them. And in the two that I don't, I tried to trade for him in both instances.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. You have to keep an eye on, like I said yesterday, Donald Stevenson, their right tackle, and Virgil Green, making a big difference in the running game for Denver. See if they play this week.
Green is on track to play. He's been practicing.
Good. And I think they're optimistic about Donald Stevenson.
Yeah, I think he practiced. Okay. Or he went through a walkthrough.
Charles Sims, Thomas Rawls, Jeremy Langford. These are guys that you can drop. But Rawls, do you still think it makes sense to hang on to him? He's 72% owned.
In every league, I've got Christian Michael. I also have Thomas Rawls.
That's the only instance, though.
Okay. This is from Joe Champion. Grade the trade. Give Christian Michael. Get Jordan Howard.
I'd rather have Howard.
Yeah, I'd rather have Howard. It's really close, though.
I think I'd rather have Michael still.
This is from Joel. I just lost Charles Sims. Pick up Jacquizz Rodgers, Chris Ivory, Derrick Henry, Thomas Rawls, Bilal Powell, or Jeremy Langford. Ivory just kind of stands out. He's different. He's more owned than the rest of the guys.
People know his name.
Barely got touches in their last game, though.
Yeah, I'd dig Pell.
I would, too.
How droppable is Chris Ivory?
I had him on the list last week just because of their bye week. I didn't mention him again just because I don't know anybody's going out to get him. He's 71% owned. So if you carried him through 2 weeks and they've been off, why would you drop him now?
All right, let's go to the wide receivers. Yeah, Chris Hogan. All right, well, I don't think I asked you guys. I did ask Keith yesterday, but all three of you please answer. Chris Hogan or Sammy Coates?
Coates.
It's got to be Coates.
I mean, 19 targets over two games. That's pretty impressive.
Talk about what you expect from the Patriots offense going forward. We spent a lot of time on this yesterday. I want to know what you two think about it.
I think it's kind of cool how two guys that they added this offseason immediately clicked with Tom Brady. And it's such a tough offense to properly cover. Like, I even think the Broncos would have a hard time dealing with all of these different weapons.
If you're going to mention a defense, mention the best one, which is
Adam. Yeah, the Vikings.
The Vikings might not, because they've got so much depth at cornerback and safety and linebacker that they might be able to hang and still put pressure on the pocket. But I think that Martellus Bennett, he's such a matchup nightmare. And they've got he's their second best tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't statistically, but you know what I'm saying. Gronk
well, he was
still
statistically.
A big threat.
Bennett just scored more touchdowns.
Well, but in fantasy, I think
fantasy
was,
yes.
That's what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Chris Hogan's going to stretch defenses further. It's a perfect situation for Tom Brady.
Do you think Hogan will be consistent?
Well, here's the thing. he had two catches over 43 yards. On the second one, whatever he did to get injured, you know, came out of the game. And so I wonder if that time miss plus score factored into the targets not being closer to 7 or 8.
You know, he's not a red zone threat.
He only had 5. I think you're going to get – look, Edelman, fantasy-wise, was a dud. Yeah. The team of targets, he was a dud. Somebody's going to be a dud, unfortunately. It's not going to be 400 yards and 5 touchdowns every week.
Right.
We'd like it to be like that, but it's not going to be that way. So somebody's going to rotate through as a dud, and probably a couple weeks at a time. So we'll see if it's – maybe this is an Amendola week, and somebody loses production.
Oh,
maybe
gosh,
this is
Amendola.
Maybe it's a Malcolm Mitchell week, and somebody, you know, loses production from it. And then who knows what they do when Deion Lewis is back if they keep both running backs involved catching the ball in the backfield.
Give me some wide receivers you drop for Hogan.
I would drop Michael Floyd in second for Hogan at this point.
You drop Allen Hurns.
If Julius Thomas is out. That's when Hurns has been his best. Okay. So this could be a good week for Hurns. Obviously, Golden Tate, Philip Dorsett, Victor Cruz. These are all the guys I listed in the column. Tyler Lockett. And a lot of the guys that we talked about last week. Dontrell Inman, you know, one good game in 5. Not worth it. At this
Tyrell
point.
Williams. Would you drop Tyrell Williams?
No. Tyrell Williams, I think, is – if you have Tyrell Williams, you know, if you want to carry both, that's, you know, a thing you could potentially do. But – Tyrell Williams is clearly going to be involved also moving forward. But Hogan's in the conversation right now with – he could be in front of the group of Quincy Enunwa, of Tyrell Williams, of these guys that are going to be – Robert Woods, that are going to be heavily involved. And maybe Allen Hurns too, you know, once Julius Thomas is back. But you want a piece of the Patriots offense whenever you can get it. And so if you know they're going to be thrown a lot, which is going to be the case, why would you not consider him a third receiver with a chance to be a top 24 guy?
All right, Cameron Meredith is 2% owned. Jeremy Curley is 6% owned. He's had 2 big games in a row. Kenny Britt has 3 games with 75 or more receiving yards, and he's 12% owned. So between Meredith, Curley, and Britt, these guys are widely available, and so is Devontae Adams. He's 19% owned. Meredith, Curley, Britt, Adams, who's your favorite, Heath?
I'll go with Adams.
Meredith?
Over Meredith. I think Meredith's going to have a role in this offense, but I don't expect him to outperform Alshon Jeffrey very often this year. Adams has got a chance. I mean, he's in an Aaron Rodgers offense, and he's been semi-productive already.
Yeah, but this
Curley
was his
in
first
PPR
game with a lot of. He had 8 targets. Typically, he's been more like 3 or 4. I think.
No, he's had at least 7 in 3 or 4 games.
No, really.
But his yardage.
Yeah, this was his best game catches and yards. His first 2 games, he had 7 targets. His third game, he had 2.
Okay.
So I feel like he's touchdown dependent.
He's very touchdown dependent. I think to Heath's point. He's going to be involved with Aaron Rodgers. And the thing that we saw about him as a rookie was he was better as the third guy opposed to his sophomore year where he was the second guy. I don't know how many games are you going to see somebody play as well as Janoris Jenkins did and take away Jordy Nelson. So I think that kind of lended to Adams having a bigger role in terms of his catches and yards, or at least being more productive with them because they were picking on when Cromartie went out and with Eli Apple. Eli Apple didn't play, right?
He played, he gave up the touchdown to Jordy Nelson, then he left with a groin injury.
So, you know, they were really beat up. The thing I like about Meredith is, I know, I understand what you're saying, and, right. and that would be the hope, obviously, is that Jeffrey's better than Meredith. But this is now 2 games out of their last 3 where the guy, well, I guess 3. I mean, when you factor in Eddie Royal, the guy opposite Alshon Jeffrey has been involved with Hoyer. Kevin White had, what, 14 targets or 16 targets?
Against Dallas?
In the 14. Dallas game. 14 in the
and
Dallas
game. And then 9 game. The game after that when he got hurt.
Right.
And he had 9 targets before he got hurt.
And Eddie Royal was involved. It just seems as if Hoyer is not necessarily – it's almost like his anti-Houston. Like when he was in Houston, it was just DeAndre. And then now he goes to Chicago, and it's just whoever's opposite Alshon. So I think that role is going to be there. For whoever it may be, and right now it's Meredith.
Well, look, we're excited about picking up Coates. We're excited about picking up Hogan. Are we excited about Meredith, Curley, Britt, Adams, or even Breshad Perriman?
The only one from that group that I'd be moderately excited about is Meredith. And I'll give you one more reason to like him. Alshon Jeffrey is banged up all the time. And so there's going to come a point where he probably misses a game.
Well, then Meredith will be the number one, and Hoyer won't throw to him.
I wonder if, because he's not practicing, that Hoyer is just developing rapport with the guys that are on the field.
It could also be that the coverage is being tilted toward Jeffrey and Hoyer's taking what the defense gives him.
Dante Moncrief and Corey Coleman are 60 and 44% owned respectively, and they're, you know, a few weeks away from returning.
This is week 3 of what was expected to be 4 to 6 week injuries for both. Now, Pagano was asked about it last week coming off their London game. He said he's week to week, didn't really give you anything. But Philip Dorsett's been a tragedy, you know, for them. In this starting role.
Yeah, do they rush him back knowing that they need wins and points? Because otherwise, they could wait till after the week 10 bye.
Okay. Well, the bottom line is they're good stash candidates, Moncrief and Coleman. And some emails and tweets here about wide receivers. This is from Olin. I just got offered A.J. Green for Odell Beckham. What do I do?
Make the trade. Get A.J. Green.
These are not the type of trades that I'd probably make because I think they're both going to be really great, and I'd probably just pass. Not because I definitely like Odell better than A.J. Green, but just because I kind of see them as the same.
I'm worried about Eli.
Not worried about
Eli. I think he's a little banged up. That pocket is breaking on him, and he had happy feet against the Packers.
Their tackles
were horrible. He was bad.
He had happy feet against the Vikings, too.
They played two very good pass rushes.
On the road. The schedule was such a tragedy for them.
Yeah.
To have to play back-to-back road games, back-to-back primetime games, coming off a Monday night game on one of them. Yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah, it's as tough a schedule as you'll find.
They're at home against Baltimore, and then they go to England to play the Rams, then a bye, and then three games.
Is that
home.
Game not in London, by the way?
I'm not sure if that's the game that's not, or right. The I don't even remember where the other game is, but it's in England.
I won't be there. So, okay, let's go. Oh, yeah, so second email from Ashley. Where's she from?
Duluth, Minnesota.
I was offered Todd Gurley for my DeAndre Hopkins in a half-point PPR league. I have Kelvin Benjamin, Terrell Pryor, Diggs, and Moncrief. Can I give up Hopkins to get Gurley? What do you think?
I think it's a good job of giving us the receivers, but I'd really want to know who your running backs are. Because if you were just awful at your number two running back, then I would make the trade. If I have two guys I feel comfortable starting at running back, then I would not.
In a vacuum, I think you'd rather have Gurley.
I'm not sure I want.
But it's very close.
I'm not sure I want Benjamin, Pryor, Diggs, and Moncrief to be my receiving unit. Number one to two. I don't know that you have two top 20 receivers if you give up Hopkins.
And you get points.
Pryor, maybe Moncrief when he comes back.
Pryor, actually. Diggs, and Moncrief are all kind of borderline top 20.
Yeah. Pryor, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think the luster's off Pryor a little bit, especially with the quarterback situation being what it is.
Tight ends. Jesse James is at Miami. He scored his predictable touchdown against the Jets right after Sammy Coates dropped the touchdown, so that was good for James owners.
It's unfortunate the Cardinals don't have a good tight end.
Hunter, yeah, I know. Hunter
but
Henry.
But they do have Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
He's basically a tight end.
Hunter Henry faces the Broncos on
Thursday.
They put
Michael Floyd at tight end.
The Broncos have not allowed a touchdown to a tight end yet. Antonio Gates, he faces the Broncos on Thursday. The Broncos.
I changed the order. I put Charles Clay second. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Ahead of Hunter Henry?
Yes.
Ooh. Is that for this week or for going
for this week? The 49ers have been bad against tight ends, and his targets have started to come up, and he's got five catches each of the last 2 weeks.
You know, on that note, we didn't talk about him, but I think Tyrod Taylor, if he's available, is a sneaky start this week against the 49ers.
He could be. I just wonder, like, if what we saw from him last week is kind of what you're going to get moving forward. Just that, right. You know, 18, 19 points, and that's kind of his ceiling. Because they'll run the ball all over San Francisco.
And it's the Greg Roman revenge game.
And Richard Rodgers.
Not there anymore.
Has the Cowboys. They have given up the, I think, fifth most fantasy points to opposing tight ends. I don't love this list. Do you?
No.
Yeah. I think I'd take Rodgers second.
Are you crazy? Richard Rodgers?
This week, yeah. He had an almost touchdown this week.
He dropped a touchdown.
Facing the Cowboys.
He scored the week before. Look, he's going to get run because Jared Cook is out for 4 to 6 weeks. So.
Right.
I would rather have Jesse James.
I love Hunter Henry. He's so good.
And the Chargers were smart. They gave him a ton of snaps. Tons of work. Antonio Gates barely played.
But was that just because Gates was on a snap count?
Gates had more targets, though.
It's ridiculous. They're so stupid.
Oh, it makes me
what
angry.
Are they thinking?
And if Henry doesn't have that long catch, that's the concern.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be good on four targets per game.
Would you still stream him?
On four you're telling me he gets four targets per game? No chance.
Here is.
Look at the other tight ends that are out there to stream. Like, measure him against Gary Barnage. Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have him than Barnage, but I'd rather have Clay than both. Because against Denver, it's going to be brutal.
All right, guys. Emails. This is I never know how to pronounce this name. R-A-M-O-N.
Ramon.
Raymond.
What do you think it might be?
We should have made you pronounce
Robin.
It.
Remember, who mispronounced
definitely
Robin?
Definitely Jamie.
No, it
wasn't me.
I think it was Heath.
What did you call it?
Raymond, I think.
Then he called it Raymond Noodles.
I'm a big fan of the Baltimore Ravens.
Dear Hannibal, Face, and Murdoch, and Mr. T., should I dump Spencer Ware for Charles Clay or Dwayne Allen?
No.
Well, do you need a tight end this week?
Yeah, he does.
And is Spencer Ware the most droppable player on your team? Or is the tight end that you have the most droppable
player? I would rather drop Spencer Ware than take a zero at tight end.
But yeah, look,
I've got to think there's a better
way. Well, he might have Kyle Rudolph.
All right, so yeah, he's got to bench Rudolph.
Yeah, if you have Cameron Brate, you drop Brate. If you have Rudolph,
right,
you don't want to drop Rudolph, right?
Nope. No, that would be a big mistake. Yeah. Can you at least try and trade Ware to the Jamaal Charles owner first?
I tried that last week. I needed a quarterback for Breeze, and the Charles owner wouldn't do it.
I tried to
trade Ware for Dalton.
Really?
Yeah, and he wouldn't do it as second quarterback. It's a weird league. You only have to start one running back, so he, for whatever reason, kept Dalton.
Here's Kip from Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Who do I want rest of season? Ertz, Julius Thomas, or Tyler Eifert?
Ertz.
Yeah, I still think it's Ertz.
Can you carry Ertz and Eifert?
Who knows when Eifert's coming back after this latest setback?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the frustrating thing. It's like, keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. How long are you going to kill a roster spot?
Which DST
I've been doing it this long.
Are we streaming this week? DST.
Titans.
They were on my list.
They play the Dolphins.
Lions are on my list.
They play the Browns, rather.
Your kiss is on my list?
No. And, of course, the Bears.
Against Jacksonville because they're playing against Blake Bortles.
They haven't been bad this year defensively. They've been average in almost every way. Sacks, interceptions, passing yards allowed, rushing yards allowed.
I can't believe they had like 5 sacks last week. Yeah. I guess that's because of the Colts offensive line.
So, I mean, the only team that we've seen be bad defensively against the Jags is Indianapolis. They're better than the Colts defensively.
It makes sense.
The Titans are 11% owned. Miami is the only DST that did not score double-digit fantasy points against Cleveland so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad. And then kickers, Jamie has Nick Novak, Will Lutz, and Ryan Succop on the list. I think we have time for a few emails, a few electronic mail messages. How you guys doing, by the way?
I'm all right. I like
being here.
How was your bash party?
It was all right. No, it was good. I really appreciated everybody coming down. It was cool. Not that many people.
Anybody show up at your dinner?
No.
Randomly?
You know, South Florida was just dead last weekend. I think people got out
the
of town
storm.
For the storm. We went to Hard Rock the night before, which is usually packed. There was not that many people there. We went to dinner. Not that many people there.
How
so.
Depressed were you at Hard Rock Stadium after the block hit? Because
I wasn't that depressed.
Yeah, take us through that little period. Score a touchdown, expecting to tie the game.
I wanted them to go for two, honest to God. I said it at the time, go for two. They own Miami, so I knew we weren't going to win. I didn't expect them to win. I was fine Saturday night. That was awful, but I was fine. And then Sunday, I was so upset about it. I was just like, I can't believe we just lost on a block.
You had a hurricane hangover.
It was awful, but it was a really fun experience. The stadium was great. The fans were great. The FSU band didn't show up, which was awesome because they're so annoying. And we'll get them next year.
This time?
Almost. I got into a verbal fight, you know, with a guy who was 100 feet away from 100 feet away from me. Nothing was ever going to happen. We
You're
were
sort
just
of
jawing
tough guy,
at huh? Yeah, I was a tough guy. He was pissing me off. He was a jerk. But was we
he,
had fun.
What did he do to make you mad?
Well, my FSU's beaten us seven times in a row. But at that time, it was 6 in a row. So he turns around. He was sitting like 20 rows in front of me. He turns around, starts giving me the 7, whatever.
Giving to you?
Yeah, to me and all of us.
Not so it wasn't to you at all.
But he and I exchanged. So I got really pissed off, and I started giving him the 5, as in we have 5 national championships. They have 3. And then the guy said, you weren't even born. And I said, oh, yes, I was, which is actually false. I was not born for all of them. I was born for 4 of them. Whatever. It was just tough talk. But you know what? We had 20 people go to the game, which was really cool. Fun time. We'll get them next year.
Well, congratulations.
Big game this week. Dave, I hope you go. This is from Namdi. I would rather have watched the debate in reverse Japanese than watch the Monday Night Football game. However, I need help deciding if I should drop Jonathan Stewart or Doug Martin. Are they taking up space, or should I keep them?
Definitely keep Martin. He might be a top 5 back rest of the season with no Charles Sims.
Brett from a city called Buffalo. Give up. Oh, he says, hey, Phil, Jim, Joe, and Troy. Oh, I know them. Phil, Jim, Joe, and Troy.
NFC East greatest quarterbacks?
No, I think these are broadcast teams.
Phil and Jim and Joe and Troy.
Yeah. Grade the trade, full point PPR. Give up Eli, CJ Anderson, and Michael Floyd. Eli Manning, CJ Anderson, and Michael Floyd.
So CJ Anderson.
Get Amari Cooper and Russell Wilson.
We've got a winner.
A+. Listen, I really think people are going to give up on Eli Manning too early. I think he plays well
this week.
He should.
Therese Wright's back in the lineup for the Ravens. That's a good thing.
Yeah. This is from Brett. Where's he from?
Fresno, California.
I was offered Edelman and McKinnon for Andrew Luck in a PPR league. Give up Luck, get Edelman and McKinnon. He also has Dalton and streaming options.
Not bad. I think it's too much for Luck.
Think about this, though. Andrew Luck was going after Edelman. So I think this is good. I'd give up Luck for Edelman and McKinnon.
I read it wrong. I thought he was getting Luck, but someone's offering Edelman and McKinnon in a PPR format.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. You can find another quarterback.
This is where I'm going to feel like a stupid football fan because I don't get the fourth name in this.
Good.
This is from Jason. I'm just going to say he's from Buffalo. Dear Bruce, Daryl, Cornelius, and Phil.
Phil.
Bruce.
Those are Bill's linebackers, right? Or defenders. Bruce, Smith, Daryl, Talley, Cornelius Bennett. Who's Phil? Oh, all right, I guess I don't feel that dumb. Three receiver league. I have the number one waiver wire priority. Arian Foster, Rashad Jennings, Forsett, Lockett, and Curley are on waivers. Should I pick up any of them, or should I just keep my number one waiver wire priority? We're talking Foster, Jennings, Forsett, Lockett, and Curley.
Yeah.
No.
Phil Hansen.
Oh, sure.
Phil?
Phil Hansen? All right, thank you, guys. This is it for today's show.
It's over?
It's over.
What was your favorite part?
Oh, you guys aren't going to be here tomorrow, Dave and Jamie.
We won't be.
It's me, Heath, and hopefully Chris tomorrow. My favorite part of the show?
Yeah.
Was Team Name Tuesday, more than a Thielen. I want to use that. I'm going to change my name because I'm a Vikings fan.
You know what my favorite part was?
What's that?
And now it's time for Adam Azer to wrap up the podcast.
All right. Hey, look. No, I can't do it anymore. I just suck at this. I can't do it. It's so hard. They've gotten just awful and embarrassing. So that's it for the show. Goodbye.